Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that. That makes you a highly intelligent individual. You are now recognized as a near genius just because you listen to the Small Business Advocate Show. And I got some good news for you, folks. It's just going to get better. You're just going to get smarter because Rick Pinion's in the house. Rick is our good friend, a longtime Brain Trust member, and the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services, and he's our financial planning expert on the Brain Trust. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And even though today we're not going to talk about investments as such, do you still need to do your disclaimer?
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. I'm going to set Rick up for this. And as you heard me say before, this is why financial planners don't have groupies. He needs to tell you something. This is the full disclosure side of the securities business. That is the opposite of caveat emptor. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jim. Yeah, I just would like to remind the listeners as you're listening this morning to remember that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You must always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through AIG Advisor Group, Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and AIG Advisor Group and Pinion Financial Services are not directly related. Also, investors should remember that there's risk involved in all investments, including fluctuation and possible loss to principal.
Thank now, the only reason I let Rick do that every time is because it's educational. What he just did is educational, folks. That's a heads up for you. Not the only reason, because he also asked me if he could do it. I'll do anything Rick asked me to do. But the other thing is that's an educational thing for you. When you listen to Rick say those things, remember that your financial experts, your financial planning people, your stockbroker, your financial planner, whoever is helping you with your investment, the bank, the folks at the bank who are helping you with these things. They have an obligation. They have a fiduciary obligation. They have a securities obligation. They have a legal obligation to make sure that you understand what you're getting into and the risks that you're getting into and what you should expect of them. They have an obligation to not only provide you with that stuff, but to make sure not in a passive way, but in an overt way, that you understand these things. And so, as I say, when Rick does his little soliloquy there, it's not just to cover his backside. It's also educational, Rick. And I'm glad you do that for us. I think that's important for people to recognize. Because otherwise, I think, Rick, sometimes people wander around in your world, in the securities world, and it's like they feel like they're just it's no different from being at the farmer's market or something.
Yeah, and it is a very highly regulated industry.
Highly regulated. I can't imagine any. The only thing I can imagine that's more regulated than your industry would be maybe the nuclear power plants or something like that.
Yeah, in fact, you took the words out of my mouth.
Well, you know, we've been together so long, Rick. We think alike, right? Like an old married couple, right?
Yeah, you start the sentence and I finish it.
All right, that's a little scary. Okay, Rick, let's talk about stock options. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, you know, I was so excited this morning to talk to you about stock options because I was thinking, do you remember it wasn't that long ago when company-owned cars and access to, you know, the corporate jet and the corner office and all these things like employee stock options.
Like you have.
Yeah, I wish. we're viewed as a status symbol during the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
When they had the bull market.
Yeah.
And, you know, from a company's point of viewpoint, stock options could attract and retain, you know, some very valuable employees. And the corporations didn't have to come up with cash, which is many times in limited supply. And then lo and behold, we all know what happened. The bear market came.
Mm-hmm.
We all remember that. You know, between the years 2000 and 2002, the S&P just literally, you know, fell down. It was crushed.
It fell off the table.
Yeah, you know, it fell down 40, 50%, depending on how your stocks were positioned. And as a result of that, we haven't heard a lot about stock options in quite a while.
Well, the idea, what would happen, back to your earlier point, Rick, what would happen would be that if somebody founded a company, somebody got a company going, they needed a $500,000 a year talent in that company, or a $200,000 a year talent, or a $75,000 a year talent. Doesn't matter where you put your decimal point. But the company didn't have the money to pay that person that much.
Right.
But there was opportunity in the company. And so they would pay them less money, maybe nothing, maybe almost nothing, on the promise that when the company sold or at some point in time, they'd be able to redeem some stocks. And so when we come back, we're going to get Rick to tell us some more about this and how it works and what it's looking like in the 21st century. 20 Till, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate. There's Booker T and the MGs. Rick Pinion is our guest and our good friend. And by the way, folks, when you go to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And we'll send you that every Sunday afternoon by email. It'll get you ready for the week ahead, and I promise it will. In addition to a couple of articles that you'll find there that I've written, you'll also see the schedule for the upcoming week. We'll tell you who's going to be on the show in the week ahead. Also, don't forget to check out our blog, which is right there on the homepage. You can find it there on the homepage, and we update it every weekday. And if you want, you can come get it, or we'll send it to you. And you can find the technology, the real simple syndication technology, right there on the blog page that you can download for free. And it works like a charm. It's a pretty handy little tool, so you might want to check that out as well. And don't forget all the other things that are there and more to come. We got some exciting stuff that we're working on later this year. I just can't wait to tell you about it. I just can't do it right now. That we're just still developing it. But I can't wait to roll it out for you. Rick Pinion is our guest. As I said, he's with Pinion Financial Services. We're talking about stock options, where a company will sort of defer your compensation. They'll offer you a stock option, or you'll offer your employees or a prospective employee a stock option, so you don't have to come up with all the cash. The capital that you have can go to growing the business, not paying high-powered executives. And the idea is that someday in the future you'll be able to redeem some options and take your compensation, probably, hopefully, at a lot higher level than you would have if you just gotten paid a salary, and with these stock options. Now, Rick, what's different about today than, say, 6 or 7 years ago?
Well, I think today, especially the small companies, are starting to, you know, they're starting to see their profits rise. And so, for example, I've got a client down in Washington, D.C. that recently went public, and I have to meet with them tomorrow because I handle their 401k as well as their health plan and some other benefits. And one of the things we're doing is we're talking to the employees about how they should exercise their stock options. I'm mm-hmm. trying to educate them as much as I can in terms of what are stock options, how do they work, what's a good time to exercise them. And as you can imagine, Jim, some of the stuff gets very, very technical.
Right.
And so my job is to try to keep it as simple as possible so people can grasp the concept, which I guess is what we're trying to do this morning on the radio as well.
Right. Well, by the way, how did they do when they went public? Did their stock go up?
Oh, it's unbelievable, Jim. I mean, they started at small price, and they just
What was their launch price?
Let's see, the launch price was about $3 or $4 a share.
Wow, that's pretty conservative.
Yeah, and now they're up to about $15 a
share. Wow, that's some real market value there.
Yeah, and you know what? I went and asked them to see their prospectus, because you can find a lot of these things on a prospectus.
Right.
And you look and see where, you know, like, for example, say the number of employees in the company have several thousand shares of these, stock options.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine they wake up one morning and they're fantastically wealthy.
All of a sudden they're rich. But as you and I know, and I guess this is what you're telling them, they can't just run down to their broker and sell those stocks right away, can they?
No, no.
There are restrictions.
There's restrictions. There's vesting periods.
Talk to us about those.
Yeah. In other words, when these stock options come out, maybe I should define some terms.
All right.
These are what they call non-qualified stock options. It's abbreviated N like Nancy, Q, S, O. And sometimes they're referred to as non-statutory stock options. And basically what they are, Jim, is they're a right. They're like a privilege to buy a certain number of shares of stock at what we call a fixed exercise price. So they know the exercise up front, and they have a specified period of time. It's like an open window in which to exercise those options.
Mm-hmm.
So we think of an option like a right to buy something in the future, but we just don't know what the future market price of that stock
is. You don't actually hold a stock or you basically got an option opportunity. For example, let me see if I can say, you tell me if I'm right about this.
Okay.
Whereas you would hire me to work for you, and you say, okay, I'm going to give you this stock option. What that means is at some future date, you're going to have a year's time or a week's time or 2 years or whatever to purchase shares of this company at $3 a share.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might say to me, but we're going public in 2006, and we think the stock could go way up. So if you buy it at $3 a share within that window, and the stock's selling at $15, then you're going to make $12 a share.
Right.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's the differential. So so that difference between the exercise price and the fair market value is what we call the differential, or the sometimes they call it the bargain value of the stock.
So you basically sell future stock value in order to get me to hold my price down on the salary I'm going to take.
Exactly. And think about it, because what we're doing is we're giving employees the opportunity to share in the future growth of the company without having to make any, current cash outlays for salary or bonuses.
For big salaries, right, which if you're going to get the company to where it's going to go, you have to have that kind of power, that kind of brain power. It's expensive.
Right. And the nice thing is there's very few regulatory restrictions, on how we can design these stock options. So they offer a great deal of flexibility when we're trying to meet corporate objectives. I mean, talk about loyalty. Everybody has their radio turned on to the New York Stock Exchange or whatever, where the stock's being traded, just to watch the price of it. It makes the employees very excited because they feel like they're sharing. It's almost like an employee ownership plan of the company.
Well, it is, basically, and because you've invested some of your time and energy, a lot of it, I should say, into the company without having gotten paid immediately for that contribution. But there are some things that have to be dealt with because there are some issues on stock options that are coming up. And we're going to get Rick to tell us about those when we come back after these messages. It's not all quite as rosy and easy as it might seem. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Well, nothing is going right.
We're back. It's 7 till. All of you out there who are thinking, who is that guy singing? Well, that's Del Shannon. So you were right if you said Del Shannon. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Rick Pinion is our guest. Rick, give us your website, please.
Yeah, I'll give you both of them. The first one is www.pinionfinancial. Pinion Financial is one word, and pinion is like opinion without the O. So it's pinionfinancial.com. That's for the financial planning part. For the health and life insurance, we have another one. It's www.ehealthandandlife.com.
All right. So no extra charge for that second one there, folks. And ladies and gentlemen, the good thing about Rick's sites, his websites, are that You can learn a lot of stuff about your finances. There's a lot of things there on his sites that will help you with health care as well as financial planning. That you got a lot of calculators there, Rick, that people can use to help them. And he makes them available to you for free, and I encourage you to take advantage of that. And use Rick if you can. If you live in another part of the world, he'll help you find somebody that's close by if you want somebody in your area. And Rick, I appreciate you helping folks. I know you do that an awful lot. Let's get back into our stock option discussion. We've been talking about all the advantages of stock options, but there's some cautionary things too, aren't there?
Yeah, for example, you know, it all sounds very rosy, as you had mentioned, but we should give a balanced talk this morning. In other words, if a person exercises their stock options too early, they may miss out on, you know, the appreciation potential of the stock.
Right.
On the other hand, if they wait to exercise until the options are, you know, just about to expire, then they may lose the chance to, you know, sell at a better price in the future.
The bloom may be off the rose for the stock.
Yeah, and they may miss the opportunity to do some tax planning as well. So it's a very delicate balance in terms of when is the best time to exercise those options.
And you could be in danger of getting into the alternative minimum tax issue too, couldn't you?
Yeah, there's a special type of stock option called incentive stock options. And when those are exercised, the difference between the exercise price and the fair market value gets thrown into alternative minimum tax. And as you know, the alternative minimum tax is hitting more and more people. And unfortunately, you know, Congress is lowering that AMT exemption, which is $58,000 for this year. They're lowering it for 2006, it's down to $45,000. It was $58,000 last year. So hopefully they'll make that retroactive and change that.
The other thing, Rick, is the IRS and Sarbanes-Oxley is getting involved in the stock options. A lot of companies, and also I think the SEC, Rick, you correct me if I'm wrong about this, but the a lot of companies have used stock options to basically, it seems to me they've used stock options to sort of shore up their balance sheet a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah, and that's where the accounting profession has jumped in. The Financial Accounting Standards Boards, they passed some stricter rules as a result of Enron and some of these other companies.
Right.
And so they passed this rule that says that now that the companies have to expense their options from earnings. And that took place as of June 15th of the year 2005.
So the issue here, folks, is that if I have a bunch of high-paid people that I'm not paying very much money, and so I'm not having to show that expense, that makes my company look more profitable than it really ought to be shown, and I'm pushing those wages off into the future. Well, I ought to be showing that as a contingent liability.
Yeah, and in the old days, it used to be hidden. You know, people had trouble finding the reference to the
right.
Stock options.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of buried in the footnotes somewhere on financial statements.
Well, we're not saying in these last thoughts, Rick, we're not saying that stock options aren't still a good thing. It's just that they're a little bit more regulated than they used to be.
And finally, without proper advice, you know, people could lose their options or they could expire without ever exercising them. So
right.
It's very important to get professional advice when it comes to stock
options. Who do you recommend we talk to if we want to set up a stock option program for employees?
You need to talk to someone who's knowledgeable when it comes to stock options.
Okay, we got that, but who would that be?
It would probably be someone either with a large brokerage firm, perhaps a certified financial planner,
right?
Perhaps a CPA.
That's a CFP's a domain?
CFP, CPA.
Make sure that they've got some experience in that, though.
Yeah, and educational credentials as well.
All the people you just mentioned wouldn't automatically have that background.
No.
Make sure they've got the background.
Some
Rick,
do and some don't.
Thank you for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.
Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, that's pinionfinancial.com. Don't forget to check out his website. It's a very helpful website, by the way, folks. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.